To our lesson, I have to switch over to PowerPoint. Hopefully it's going to work. Okay, here we go. We'll see if we get lucky. Okay. How do I make that go away? It's blocking my ability to do the thing for PowerPoint right there. How do I make that thing go away? Maybe. Aha, there we go. I have a secret friend helping me with technology. Okay. My secret friend. Who is it? Who knows? All right, so tonight we're going to start going into the Bible study series. Got it? We're going to go over the Bible study, Seeking God, and the Word of God. Now, what I did was I sent a copy of my notes because I'm going to be talking pretty fast, and I'm going to be, and you probably would want to take notes, but I'm afraid it'd be hard to keep up. If you're taking notes that fast, it wouldn't be listening. You'd be mainly taking notes. So feel free to take notes, but I sent you a copy. I attached it to an email. So anyway, my goal in the next few devotionals is to inspire you with a vision to study the Bible with somebody, to help them become a Christian. Nothing is more, okay. Oh, that's letting me do it. Okay, fine. All right, great. So remember, last week we talked about four different study series that we have. First of all, we have the restoration studies that we do with people who've left the church or are trying to come back. And then we had the follow-up studies that we do with all of our new Christians to get up solid in their faith. But then we have study series for those who, as far as I know, we think it's fairly likely they are not Christians. We have two Bible study series, as you know. All right, and those are the Jesus series and the First Principles / His Steps series that we give out to everybody in the church. Okay, so what you need to do when you want to study the Bible with somebody is you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. All right, is this person fairly religious? Does this person have at least some background in the Bible? Would this person probably say, if you asked, that they believe the Bible is inspired by God? If that's true, then we're going to be doing the sort of the traditional Bible study series that almost all of us grew up with some minor changes that we do here locally, but it's going to be pretty familiar, okay? That's the study series that I'm going through the next three or four devotionals. Now, if on the other hand, the person you're talking with, and I'll even talk about some of the questions you can ask, if there's somebody who, honestly, they're not sure if they believe the Bible is inspired by God, why would they believe that? They don't have a lot of background. They didn't grow up going to church. They probably believe in God, but they don't know even for sure, even if they're a Christian. And, you know, they know who Jesus is, but, you know, they're not even, maybe even convinced if he was raised from the dead. So if you have somebody who's not religious, my suggestion, my request is you do the Jesus series. The reason we do that is that way we're establishing who Jesus is and their faith in Jesus. Because calling somebody to repent, calling somebody to discipleship, who doesn't have faith in the basics of who Jesus is, it just doesn't make sense. So anyway, I did that Bible study series. It's been almost 2 years now since we went through it, so you might want to have a little bit of review, but that's not what we're going to be doing now. Instead, there's the Jesus study series, the Gospel of Jesus, Life of Jesus, Death and Resurrection, Promise. It has most of the content in the traditional Bible study series, but has a lot more stuff on prophecy, on miracles, and on who Jesus is, those kind of things. Okay, got it? Good. By the way, If you do not have the Bible study series, they're free and available to everybody. And when I study the Bible with somebody, I tell them where to find the studies. I mean, we have nothing to hide here. There's no secrets. That's what I do. You don't have to do that, but that's what I do. All right? So that, now, here's the thing. Whenever you're studying with somebody, and by the way, one of the mistakes that I think we've made to some extent since Jan and I have been here is we've relied on too few people leading almost all the Bible studies. And I think that's been a tactical error. I think that we should have Rosa leading a Bible study with somebody. We should have, you know, I almost said Faith. Heidi. Heidi should be studying the Bible with somebody. So should Leah or Bella or anybody. All of us should be leading Bible studies. You know, I really think we come to have conviction and really know something when we teach it to somebody else. But honestly, that's been as much my fault as anybody else that I've not really emphasized this. I want us to change in that way. I want us to have it be normal that anybody in the church, Will Morris has been a Christian for whatever, 8 or 9 months. He has a friend at work. Ask him to study the Bible. You probably won't go all the way through counting the cost. All right, so if we're going to be doing that, then I want everybody to know kind of to really have it down what we want to be doing when we're studying the Bible with people. Okay? So, step number one, ask your friend to study the Bible. How do you do that? You say, would you be interested in studying the Bible? Not hard. Okay? Every single person at the devotional tonight knows somebody that they've been friends with for a while, and you could simply ask them, would you be willing to study the Bible with me? Okay? It's not that hard. Now, next thing we suggest is set it up, and if you can, whether you do it Zoom or in live, bring along a friend. It's not necessary. If I have a friend who says they're going to come and they don't show up, I still do the Bible study. I don't cancel it. It's not like this law. But really, first of all, they can be taking some notes. You're forming another relationship. You're helping to train each other. And then the next thing is do what we call a spiritual timeline with that person. Before you go into the studies, you want to find out where a person is at. What typically happens, somebody's kid is on their thing and writing on the thing. That's kind of fun, actually. That's cool. All right, so typically what will happen is you'll go through the studies and people will change their opinion. They'll suddenly find themselves thinking, oh, yeah, I did that. Oh, yeah, I did that. So I'd like us to ask people some pretty specific questions. I want to be pretty specific. You don't have to do exactly what it says on the screen, but I want you to do something pretty close to this. Ask them, do you believe the Bible is inspired by God? And whatever they say, just okay, and don't try to talk them into it, change their mind, or convince them. Just ask them if they do. All right, then you could ask them, well, why do you believe that? Here you're just trying to find out what their view is of the Bible. Then ask them, do you think you're a Christian? Do you think you're saved? Do you think you've been forgiven of your sins? Please, whatever you do, do not judge the person. Don't get into a debate. You're just trying to find out what they think. All right. One way you can do this is you can kind of do your own spiritual timeline if you want. You can talk about your time of coming to Christ. You know, I grew up in this way. I grew up going to this church. This happened. I started studying the Bible. And you can kind of model how you want them to essentially do this spiritual timeline by doing your own little kind of spiritual timeline. All right. So basically, you're going to ask, what's your attitude about the Bible? Do you believe you're saved? And then you could ask, okay, when did this happen? If they say that they're saved, they're a Christian, ask them, when did this happen? Try to nail it down if you possibly can. All right? Just get it nailed down. And then you could ask them, well, what was your frame of mind at the time? What knowledge did you have? How did you understand? How did you become a Christian? Who taught you? Just what you're trying to find out is what they knew and what they did. Okay, got it? We're not trying to trap people. We just need that information in order to be able to guide them and to know, for example, what Bible study series. Don't tell them they're wrong. Don't get into a bait. Just and then I don't know if I'd be writing it all down. That would be kind of weird, but just bear that in mind. Okay, got it? File it away. Good. Here's the his steps Bible study series. That's what we're going to do. Now I'm going to talk about the Seeking God study. It's not necessary to do the Seeking God study. All right? In fact, if I'm going to do the Jesus study series with somebody, I normally wouldn't even do the Seeking God study. Because really, just learning about Jesus, learning about his miracles and the prophecies and the fulfillment, that will get them excited about studying the Bible. So generally, if I'm going to do the Seeking God study, this is probably going to be with somebody who's religious. It doesn't have to be. Especially if this religious person, if you get any sense, you're twisting their arm a little bit. If they're like totally excited, man, I want to find out blah, 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 you probably don't need to do the Seeking God study. But I would say probably over half the time that you do the traditional Bible study series, you'd probably want to do Seeking God. Now, I want to go through this really quickly. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. The first scripture is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. All of us know that I know the plans that I have you, plans to give you a hope and a future and all that sort of stuff. Got it? Now, when you do this, I want to ask you to give the context. But by the way, with any study you do, you need to know the purpose. The purpose of this study is to get the person excited about and, more importantly, committed to studying the Bible with you. That's what you're doing. The entire purpose, if they're already excited about it and already committed to studying the Bible with you, you don't really need to do the study. Got it? But if there's any question about how committed they are and how excited they are about this opportunity to come to know God, do the Seeking God study. Okay, got it? So you do Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. I want to ask you to give them the context. Let them know that Judah is in exile. And they're going to be in exile for 70 years. It's a really tough time for them. So they're tempted to think that God doesn't even love them anymore. And then my suggestion is to ask these questions. What does God have in mind for you according to this passage? Hopefully they'll say to bless you, not to harm you, to give you hope in a future. And then how do we find God according to this passage? Hopefully they'll say when we seek him with all of our heart. Okay? And then this is the kicker question. What do you think it means to you? What would it mean to you to be seeking God with all your heart? You could ask another question. Have you been doing that up till this time? And then, well, are you willing to? Is that something you want to do? Got it? So the purpose of this one is for them to, number one, understand that God is working. God has been working. He wants a relationship with them, but they're going to have to seek God with all their heart. Got it? The next scripture, the first two scriptures in this one are the classic ones of the Seeking God study. And it's Acts 17, 26 through 28. And with this one, you're just trying to establish one more time that God has already been working in their life. And in fact, what you want to do is you want to get them to see that. You want to ask questions. And if they don't get it, share in your life how God was working in your life before you came to Christ. Tell stories about what happened. Got it? So again, we all know this one. I'm not going to read it. What I would do, though, is I would give them the context. The context is Paul is in Athens, and he's speaking to the super intellectual philosophers who think they're really religious and they think they know all about God. But the honest truth is they don't know very much about God. All right? So the two questions then are really the only question is, what has God been doing in order to find you? Okay? Then the two semi-optional passages that are part of the study is Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Whoops, let me see. Yes. Let's actually read that, because we may not be as familiar with that one. This is a great one. This is one of Josh's favorite scriptures. I'll tell you that right now. All right. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Oops, I read an extra verse. Sorry about that. All right. So for this one, what you can ask is, how do you feel about the opportunity to have a relationship with God, to meet with God? What you're trying to do here is you're trying to get them to start reading the Bible, okay? In fact, one of the things Jan reminds me of this all the time, I really appreciate that, is if people are not reading the Bible, then probably it's time to do something else. If they're not willing to put effort in, then we're wasting our time. So one of the purposes of this study and a word study, both, is to get them to start reading the Bible. Okay, got it? All right, so how do you feel about having the opportunity to, in quotes, meet with God? And what will you commit to doing this week in order to make this happen? All right, so you could maybe talk about David, that David wrote this psalm. You could ask him, what's David's attitude about the Bible? All right, that's great. But then you want to ask, how do you personally feel about the opportunity to have a relationship with God? How's that going to happen? And what are you going to do to make it happen this week? And if you can get them to make a commitment, in fact, you probably need to get them to make a commitment. And then Matthew 6:33, this one, you know, it's a great passage. By the way, the Bible study outline says Matthew 6:25-33. Sure, you could do that, but that's a whole lesson in itself. What about worrying? I don't really want to do a whole Bible study about worrying and all that. So personally, I would just read Matthew 6, verse 33. If you want to read the whole thing, great. Matthew 6, 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And really, this kind of is explaining the Jeremiah passage. So you could ask them, what do you think it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And then the other suggested question is, what specific steps are you going to take in order to seek the kingdom first? Now, we all know that back in the day, we taught that the church and the kingdom are the same thing. So we said seeking the kingdom first means going to church. Well, okay, you know, I'm not sure that's exactly really great theological interpretation of that passage. But seeking the kingdom of God means seeking a relationship with God and seeking God being our king. And I would say if you want to use this passage as a way to get them to be encouraged to start coming to church on a regular basis, amen. I just wouldn't want to give them sort of the false, you know, theology that the church is the kingdom. All right. So what does it mean to you to seek the kingdom first? And I would have my partner say what he or she thinks it means and maybe give a little explanation of what the kingdom of God is, that the church is an aspect. It's sort of the physical outpouring, visible aspect of the kingdom of God. Okay. Last thing to do is set up the next study. The date, the time, and the place. Always do this. Always, always do this. After every study, set up the date, the time, and the place. Thank you, Leo, for pointing that out. I appreciate that little arrow thing you did there. Got it? So how am I doing? I think we're actually doing pretty well on the time. It's perfect. All right, so reminder, Seeking God study. Probably you're doing the Jesus series. There's nothing wrong with doing the Seeking God study. You could. I don't think it's really necessary. I think that study itself motivates. All right. But if you're going to be doing the traditional Bible study series, I would say probably a good half the time, if not more, you're going to want to do the Seeking God study. Again, the purpose is to get them excited to about studying the Bible with you, about reading the Bible and getting to know God. If they're already there, don't need to do it. I would say over the half the time you're going to want to. Okay, got it. Next is the Word of God. All right, here it is. I think, there's the Word of God study from the His Steps. And by the way, our intention was to have more copies of this available tonight so people could buy. But, of course, we're not even there in the building. I think over half of you have a copy. Now, remember, it's available, and you can always print it out. But it's kind of nice to have the booklet, which has all the studies in one little booklet, everything except the Jesus studies. So we'll have them available for sale in 2 weeks, assuming I can meet my commitment to having a place to meet where we can socially distance. Amen. All right, so the Word of God study. Now, I think all of us already know the purpose of the Word of God study, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? The purpose of the Word of God study is to establish solidly that the Bible is the only source of reliable truth, and that it is, in fact, reliable, it is inspired, and it's the only standard of truth by which we will be judged. Okay? A lot of people say they think that, but I'm telling you, they don't. A lot of people say they think the Bible is inspired by God, but I'm telling you, they don't. All right? So this study is important. This is not optional. Definitely not. There's no way that this is an optional study. Now, with somebody doing the Jesus study, you could also do the Word study. Absolutely you could. It might be a great idea. I have, occasionally. All right, but in the Jesus study series, essentially you're going through scriptures that essentially demonstrate the Bible's inspired. But when you do that, you might want to at least have the Jesus study in the back of your mind and kind of, you know, kind of make some of the points that are made in this study. All right, great. So the first thing we do, of course, is go to 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. And by the way, I think it's a little clunky to have a copy and to kind of, you know, like, you know, go back and forth. It's okay, you know. Yeah, but I think if you just know the study series, it'd be a lot better. All right, so maybe what you could do is you in your Bible, at 2 Timothy 3:16, you could write 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. And when you get to 2 Peter 1:19 through 21, you could write Hebrews 4:12 and 13. And when you get to the end of Hebrews 4:12-13, you could write Hebrews 8:31 and 32. Either that or you could actually know this thing. Back in the day, by the way, for us old people, I mean, you had to pass a test and you had to get at least 80%. Either that, they'd take you in front of the church and disfellowship you. Just kidding. But it was pretty intense. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be old school here. But I'm telling you, memorize the studies. Know them. All right, you should be able to do these studies without having a copy of your outline. Okay? I'm telling you, I could do it. And I'll admit, I might get one of the verses in the wrong order, and I might not get the exact questions. All right? So, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Peter 1, can't remember exactly, but I could find it. You know what I'm saying? Hebrews 4:12-13. You know, John 8, somewhere in John 8. Oh, I'll go there. It's underlined. All right. And you know, et cetera. Okay. Got it? So you don't absolutely have to totally, completely, utterly memorize it. But I want to strongly encourage you to flat out memorize it. Okay. Got it? Good. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Very, very important passage. All right, so I think we should probably go ahead and read it. 2 Timothy 3. Oh, I don't need to turn to my Bible. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, reproof, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, wait, that's the old NIV. so that the person of God, I don't know, whatever. Okay, good. All right, now, again, when you're doing these studies, you want to ask them to tell you what the verse means. Don't tell them what it means. Now, if you ask them to tell you what it means and they get it wrong, then tell them what it means. Got it? But what we're doing is we're training people to know how to read the scriptures and ask simple questions. Okay, got it? So I would pretty kind of legalistically go through asking these questions. So the first question is, what does Paul mean when he says all scripture is inspired by God? Now, usually the people will give the right answer. Why? Because that's who we're doing this study with. They know what it means. All right, and then you should ask them, well, do you believe that? I'm telling you right now, they're going to say yes. They're going to say yes. All right? And then here's my third question. Why do you believe that? Here they're going to go, All right? And then what I would do is I would mention a few reasons why you personally believe the Bible is inspired by God. You talk about how the Bible works. You could talk about the historical accuracy of the Bible. You could talk about how carefully the copies have been made and the fulfilled prophecies and the evidence for the resurrection. Be prepared to do a little 3-4-5 minute sort of thing where you say, man, I'm telling you, there are so many reasons I believe the Bible is inspired by God. By the way, 2 Timothy 3:16 is not one of the reasons I believe it's inspired by God. The fact that the Bible says it's inspired by God is not evidence that it's inspired by God. Got it? So don't use this scripture as evidence the Bible is inspired by God. All right? That's not going to work with somebody who doesn't already believe it. Okay? All right. And then I've done this study with Josh many times. For Josh, it's this last question that's his favorite question, which is, what is it useful for? All right, and then it's got these big religious words, reproof and rebuking. And what Josh does is he asks, what's that mean? That's not what I do. What I ask is, why is the Bible useful for those things? That's what I ask. The reason it's useful for those things is because it is authoritative. In other words, I am not in a position to rebuke somebody or to admonish them or even to teach them about spiritual things. Only because of the Bible. That is the source of authority. So who am I to rebuke anybody? Am I my brother's keeper? But if we're using the Bible as an authoritative source of information, the answer is absolutely yes. So got that? So what does it mean? Do you believe it? If you do, tell me why you believe it, and then what's it useful for, and then why is it useful? What we're doing here is we're establishing the authority of the Scripture, that we can use it in each other's lives to call each other to what the Bible says. Got it? 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. You can go through that one pretty quickly because, honestly, it's just saying the same thing a different way. All right? I'll go there just quickly here. Go ahead and let Melody in. She's going to keep bugging you. Thank you. All right. 2 Peter. By the way, I can never remember if it's 2 Peter 1 or 1 Peter 1. I'll be honest with you. All right. So I just know it's one or the other. So I find it eventually, right? Here we go. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as the light shining in the dark place till the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. All right, and it goes on. Men spoke from God as they're carried along by the Holy Spirit. What you're doing here in this passage is you're establishing kind of a biblical definition of what it means when we say the Bible's inspired by God. Because what's that mean? All right? So the question is, what does this passage say about the Scripture? All right? and it'll say that it was spoken from God, that people were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what you're using this scripture more to teach than to convict them. Okay, the point is this, that these words are inspired because the Holy Spirit of God inspired the writers. Got it? And then the next question, what does this mean for you and for me? What it means is we better follow it, that it is authoritative. It's as if God is speaking directly to us through the writers. Don't need to spend a lot of time in 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. All right, but you want to get to Hebrews 4:12 and 13. All right, very famous passage. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, etc. So here are the questions I'd be asking there. What does it mean when it says the word of God is living and active? And that you get to, you know, at that point, they might give sort of a funky answer. Typically, you get kind of a funky answer. And so that at that point, you want to share that when you read the Bible, it changes you. It affects you. It's not just words on a page. So you could ask this question, but then you might want to preach this question a little bit. By the way, use your partner. All right. Be in the habit of occasionally asking your partner. So if the person gives kind of a funky answer, ask your partner to answer the question. Okay? Next question is, what is it active in doing? And it's active in cutting us to the heart, correct? It's active. So you could ask, what's it active in doing? And at that point, you might want to share how when you read the Bible, it's like God's talking directly to you and all that kind of stuff. Next point, you don't have to make this point. This is kind of a minor point. What does it separate between? It says it separates between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. What that means is it separates between things that are hard to separate. In other words, the Bible makes very strong divisions between right and wrong, true and false. The world likes to make everything gray. It's kind of true for you, it's not true for me. You know, maybe yes, maybe no, situation ethics. But you want to make the point, so this is more of a point than a question, honestly, which is the Bible makes very definite distinctions. Got it? Good. And then last question is, because you'll be thoroughly, whatever it says. Are you willing to have the Bible expose you? Are you willing to read the Bible so that it will bring into the open things about you that maybe you need to change? Okay, great. Next is John 8:31 through 32. I would say a little bit of time on 2 Peter 1, a little bit of time on Hebrews 4, a lot of time on 2 Timothy 3, and a lot of time on John 8. 2 Timothy 3, John 8. I'd say those are the two most important passages in this study, personally. So we're going to go there, John 8. And here you want them to answer the question. Really, really important in this passage. You want to get them to say it, not you. All right? So with Hebrews 4, if you're kind of telling them what it's saying, okay. But in John 8, you want them to tell you. You want to hear it from their mouth. And be stubborn about it. All right, good. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Again, I want you to get them to answer this question. Who is Jesus speaking to? And they'll say, I don't know, the Jews. No. According to this passage, who's he speaking to? It says right here, to the Jews. What Jews? I don't know, the Jews he's speaking to. No. What's it say? What's it say in this passage? What Jews? It's a specific kind of Jew. The ones who believed in him. Right. Okay, good. So they've just said he's speaking to Jews who already believe in him. Okay? So they're obviously his disciples, right? All right. And then next question. Is belief sufficient to be a disciple of Jesus? Now, this scripture is clear on that, but don't help them, don't rescue them on this one. If they can't get Hebrews 4:13, go ahead and rescue them. If they don't understand 2 Timothy 1, go ahead and rescue them. But if it's John 8, 31 and 32, don't rescue them. Get them to answer the question. So who is Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to Jews who already believe in him. Is belief sufficient to be a disciple? The answer is no. Third question, well, what is necessary to be a disciple? The answer is to hold to his teaching. And please get them to say it. And then you could ask, what's that mean? And are you prepared to do it? Okay, got it? I could have asked, that's not on this slide. What's it mean to hold to his teaching? It's sort of obvious. They usually get that one. And then the question is, are you prepared to hold to his teaching? If they say yes, just file that one away. If they say no, you say, okay, all right. That probably means you're not going to do the next study, though, right? Probably not. Good. All right, next, Matthew 15, 1 through 9. You know, this scripture, to me, this is my personal opinion, it's kind of optional. But for certain people, it's really important. If you're studying with a Roman Catholic, oh yeah. If you're studying with a religious person that you think is likely to believe what their preacher told them rather than the Bible, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I would park on Matthew 15, 1 through 9. Not going to read the scripture. I think it's familiar to us. And you can ask this question. What is it that we could do that would make our worship worthless? And the answer is holding to the teachings of man. All right? And then, but you want to get that defined. Here you could help them out. What's that mean? In other words, what it means is obeying a human tradition when the Bible says something different. Technically, there's two kinds of things that are a problem here. Number one, teaching as if it was doctrine, a tradition, or following a tradition, which if you follow it, it would cause you to not obey God. Okay? Now, I don't know if you need to really suss all that out and make sure they totally understand that. Here's the bottom line. This question. And I would ask them this question, and I would go for yes or no, please. Which is, can you commit that you'll put the Word of God ahead of any tradition that you've learned about the Bible? In other words, if you find out that something you believe is a tradition that wasn't in the Bible, are you willing to follow the Bible and abandon that tradition? And we need a yes or no on that one. Okay, got it? Again, some people, really, this is not a major problem, but certain people, you need to get a yes or no. All right? So, like I said, there's really two things going on in Matthew 15. They don't have to understand everything about that. The two things are teaching something that's really just a tradition as if it's the Bible. All right? There's lots of examples of that, wearing robes and all that kind of stuff. Or following a tradition which, if you followed it, could cause you to disobey God. By the way, one question I put in there that's a good one is following a tradition wrong in every case? And the answer is going to be no. We all follow traditions. So what kind of traditions are a problem? Okay, great. Next is 1 Timothy 4:16. This is kind of a fun passage. You can do this one pretty quickly. All right, so this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, watch your life and your doctrine. Be diligent, for in doing so you save both yourself and your hearers. All right, here, this is a fun question. This is a great question. Which is more important, having the correct life, in other words, living in a way consistent with what the Bible teaches, or having the correct doctrine? Now, believe it or not, even though you just read this verse, a lot of people will actually get that question right. It's crazy. It's crazy. But it's true. All right? But don't get in their face and don't tell them, oh, what a stupid answer. I can't believe you said that. Just simply say, what you could do is you could ask your partner, which is more important? Your partner will say they're equally important. And there's the whole, you know, two wings of the airplane illustration. Which wing are you going to fly without? You could argue that if your life isn't there, the doctrine doesn't matter anyway. And you could argue that if the doctrine isn't there, your life doesn't matter anyway. So they're both equally important. All right? And so the next question is, what will be the result if you are far off, either in the way you live or in the doctrine you hold to? The answer is, you will be lost. Okay? And then you could say, honestly, this study is a little bit more about the doctrine, but we'll be talking about life quite a bit. Okay? Great. Oh, gee, are we almost done? Yeah, we're almost done. John 12:48. Honestly, what you're going to find in John 12:48, you've already said it. It's really redundant. It's, in my opinion, it's not really necessary. But, you know, it's just sort of brings it home. It's great. If you're in a hurry, you could skip it. If not, go there. Okay? So, Jesus says, you know, I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for him who does not obey and all that sort of stuff. The very words I spoke will condemn him at the last day. Correct? So the question is this. It says that Jesus did not come to the earth in order to judge, but according to this passage, what will be the standard of judgment? What will we be judged by? People always get this one right. I don't think I've ever had anybody get this one wrong. They'll say, by the things that Jesus said. Right. So how about the Bible? How about the Bible? And I like to make the point here, if you get pulled over by a cop and he tells you broke the law and he says, I didn't know I broke the law, what's the cop going to say? Well, too bad for you. You're under arrest. The point is, this means we need to know the Bible. If I'm going to be judged by my knowledge of this book, then I want to know this book. So the next question is, what does this mean about you? And a good answer would be, it means I need to know the scripture. Okay, got it? And then Acts 17:10-12, we love finishing up on Acts 17:10-12. The Bereans were of more noble character, for they eagerly accepted what Paul said, and then they examined the scriptures every day. So the two questions that I would ask is, first of all, tell them what a Thessalonian and a Berean are. Those are just two different cities in the northeast part of Greece, just across from what we call Turkey today. There's two cities are still there. They're on the map. Anyway, Berea is a smaller city. Paul had a hard time in Thessalonica. They kicked him out. You can tell them all that stuff if you want. Anyway, what was more noble about the Bereans than the Thessalonians? And the answer is this. They examine the scriptures every day to see if it was true. Okay? And here, if they don't figure that out, I just help them out. All right? You can, you know, help them out because it's sort of obvious. Okay? Got it? And so then you're going to say, that's what you need to do. You're going to say, look, don't believe what the preacher says. Don't believe what I say. Don't believe what the book you read says. Don't believe what you heard from I don't know, some radio show or online. All right. The thing you need to go back to and understand what to believe is what it says in the scriptures. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to commit to studying the Bible every single day. Are you willing to study the Bible every single day and start doing what it says? And hopefully get a commitment. Maybe get a commitment to read for 15 minutes a day or whatever. Got it? So there you go. Now, what I'm going to do, we're almost done here, but I'm going to ask Josh to make a few comments here about how he uses the word study and what he hopes to accomplish when he's doing the word study with people. So I'm going to hand it over to Josh.
Cool. Awesome. Hopefully they can see me.
I don't know if they can or not. I think they can. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Nice. So thank you so much, John. This is really great. I just came here to share a little bit about with the word study, and also just a shout out to the Seeking God study. Seeking God study is one of my favorite studies. Again, like he had shared, you don't need to do the Seeking God study with every single person. But one thing I would say just kind of there is that it is kind of a good feeler if you're trying to practice some studies and stuff like that, if you want to share your faith, and if you want to kind of practice doing a Bible study. Seeking God is good for that. That study changed my life because it helped me to see that I had purpose in my life. And so I definitely love the Seeking God study a lot for that. But for the word study specifically, I think the word study is really important, like John had shared, for the purpose of the study, to establish the Bible as the standard in which we are living our lives. It's so important that we get people to understand that the Bible is the authority. And I love being able to slow down on the word study because it's really important. Sometimes we can want to kind of speed through the scriptures and things like that, or we want to make sure we hit every single scripture. With the word study, as long as you are making sure that they are understanding the concepts that you're really trying to drive home, it's important because I think it'll really help them to see the importance of God's word. Like one time I was studying with my friend Brian, and he had asked me the question, okay, well, the Bible is so important, but isn't it just written by man anyway? And so there was the opportunity for me to go to scriptures like 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, and being able to see, okay, hey, so this is what the Bible says about that. But also, here's where I can hit with a messianic prophecy or show in different ways how I believe that the Bible is inspired by God. And so there's a lot of room for different things that you can do in the word study. And I love the word study a lot because you don't have to use every single scripture necessarily. But there are some that are going to be better for certain people that you're studying with, like how he had shared with the Roman Catholic person versus, you know, something else. For example, the Berean Jews is one of my favorite things to share in the word study because it helps people to see that studying the Bible daily is really important. And one thing that I've noticed in my experience is that when I really focus on the word study and the people that I'm studying with get the word study, they have a better time doing quiet times and being more consistent in their quiet times in their life as a disciple or even just while they're studying. So if we do feel like, oh, the word study is not that matter, or okay, it's cool, we kind of move past that, it's important to understand and establish, hey, look, you guys got to be reading the scriptures and doing that. And one thing I did want to say, inside of that mission booklet, there is some cool homework tips and things on the bottom of that. So that's a great way for you to have some people take home the message as well, if you want to see it on there. But yeah, I love the word study a lot. I think one other thing that I would share is that the word study, it showed me that the Bible was exciting and it wasn't boring, and that it was not super complicated. And I can't stress that enough, that it's important we know about the word study and we know how to share the word study with people, because a lot of people are coming to the Bible like, man, this thing is complicated. So many people have the King James Version and don't even know what the King James Version says. And so it's important that we're able to really bring excitement to God's word and help people to understand, okay, it's not as complicated as some have made it seem and stuff like that. And so I really love the word study. I think it's great. I think it'll help people to set up a good foundation for you to study and get people really serious about their relationship with God. So,
amen. Thanks. You know what? I thought it was like 5 minutes after eight. It's 20 after eight. I kind of blew it. I wasn't looking at my watch there. Joelle's going to send us to breakout rooms. But Joelle, let's just go there for maybe about 6 or 7 minutes, which is going to be kind of crazy. But I just feel like I kind of used up my time here. The three questions are, have you been seeking God with all your heart recently? I thought that's for the non-Christian. Oh, well, what about us? And does your life agree with your belief that it is the Word of God? That's a good, you know, that's a good one. And who are you thinking about asking to study the Bible with you? So we're going to spend 6 or 7 minutes in a breakout room, and then we'll have some fellowship. I apologize. I thought it was about 5 or 10 after 8. It's 20 after, but amen. If you have to go, you have to go. I totally get it. See you in a few. All right, who we got here?
Hey.
All right, Louis. And Lourdes.
Yes.
Sorry.
Hey, Sal. Hey, Sal. Hey, Lourdes. Hey, Tanisha. Hey, Louis.
How's it going?
All right.
Hi, Tanisha.
So, have we been seeking God with all of our heart?
Trying to.
It's been hard, but I'm trying.
All right.
Everybody all at once.
Yeah. I've been feeling the need to pray more. It's been, you guys get my emails, right? You get the sense it's not been the top week or two in my life spiritually. It's been pretty tough.
Yeah.
So I'm having to go out of my way to rely on God.
Nope.
Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, yeah, I think I'm still like, yeah, learning every day how to seek God with all my heart and fully, you know, give Him everything. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yeah, I feel that. I know for me, I've definitely had to seek, because I think understanding how people are getting sick and being scared and fearful and it can definitely make me weary or worried. So I definitely had to spend a lot of time in prayer. And then getting into CSUB, getting my classes started and everything this semester was not the easiest. So, making sure that I spent some time in prayer and not just worry all the time. So that definitely was something.
You guys could pray for Josh that his financial aid finishes coming through, by the way.
It actually did. It did.
I got you.
It did. Came through.
Sorry for interrupting. Tony Johnson wants to join us, but he doesn't have the technology for the... So he's on speaker.
Oh, nice.
Great. Hey, Tony.
Tony.
You hear it?
Yeah.
Yes, they're right here. I'm just trying to... Well, let me put the volume up, okay? This is not my phone. This is Tao's. Can you hear it? Okay, there he is.
Hey, Tony.
Tony.
What's up, brother?
Of course.
You're welcome. Tony, have you been seeking God with all your heart?
Yes, sir. Every day.
Amen. What was the second question?
It was on the screen so fast.
Does your life agree with your what you say you believe?
Ah, right. There you go.
Okay. I think what you're trying to say is my life actions coincide with following God.
Yeah. I think I was trying to apply 1 John 8:32 on that one. Appreciate your honesty there,
yeah.
Tony. That's great.
Man, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Anna Maria?
Oh, you're muted.
You're on mute.
Muted, Anna Maria.
Oh, I said that, we need to fix that. We need to make some changes.
Amen.
That's why we're here tonight.
Yeah.
Satan's been kind of working overtime on a few of us the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. This is one that
you can do better. Churches, and I try to have my conversation.